Job chapter 42.
Amen.
Job chapter 42, verse 5. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. These are two layers of reality. I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. Amen. Now we are trusting God to make the transition, to make that transition from the point of hearing God by the hearing of the ear to that point where your eye can see Him. The man that has seen God with his eyes has more authority in the things of God than him that just heard by the hearing of the ear. The man that hears by the hearing of the ear, he has heard about God, but he doesn't know God. The only possibility of our knowing God is tied to our experience of God. So we have two layers, two convenient layers. Two very convenient layers that you can decide to function in. The layer of functioning in that realm where you hear about God. Come to church, they tell you about God. You go back. At the end of the day, you might know about God. But the fact that you know about God doesn't make God profitable to you just because you heard about Him. You know about Him. It is in the experience of God that we take advantage of what God is offering to us. In order for us to make the shift from the point of hearing by the ear to seeing Him, seeing His reality, experiencing Him, we are going to have to go on a journey. We're going to go on a journey. First of all, I will define for us what exactly a spiritual fact is. A spiritual fact. Now, for those of us that did some form of science, we have some facts in physics, verifiable facts. They conducted some experiment and they deduced some facts. Those facts are constant, all right? One of them is acceleration due to gravity. It's a fact. So we have the value for acceleration due to gravity. And if you are working on anything that has to do with gravity, we have some givings already because there is a fact about gravity. Is that clear? Fact. Spiritual fact. Some things are there, they are constant. Whether you believe it or not, it is a fact. And just in case you begin to study into God, you will find out those facts that you did not know, even when you did not know them, they were still facts. Just like you may not know acceleration due to gravity, but it's still there, it's a fact. The first fact, because we are trying to make the transition from hearing about God to experiencing God. Now, if this transition is going to be a safe transition, then we must pay attention to what we call spiritual fact. Now, the first fact that I want to present to us is the death of Jesus. The death of Jesus is a fact. Now, let us see the principle, the directive that is given to us, from whence we can tap into the reality of the death of Jesus. And then I'll show you one or two things so that we'll see how we can make the transition from just hearing about God to experiencing God. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Now, you're going to see facts. Facts. Some facts. Say, but if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead. Now, can you underline God had raised him from the dead? God had raised him from the dead. The resurrection is a fact. If you are going to transit from hearing about God to experiencing God, you must pay attention to spiritual facts. Right? Now, the Lordship of Jesus has become a fact. According to the book of Philippians chapter 2, the Bible says, wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. Now, the day that coronation event took place in the heavens, there was a conference on Jesus, the Lordship of the heavens. It's on the strength of his Lordship that everyone is enjoined to bow the knee when his name is mentioned. So, whether you are aware or not, Jesus is Lord. So it's a spiritual fact. Whether you are aware or not, whether you subscribe to it or not, Jesus was raised from the dead. These are claims, verifiable claims in Scripture. For instance, the Jew will never serve any other God. An accurate Jew will never serve any other God other than Jehovah. There is evidence in history. Are you with me? That once upon a time, Jews stopped worshipping God after the order of Judaism. And they began to follow Jesus. That's a fact in history that cannot be disputed. These guys are just like, you see how terrible they are? What we study to know is their culture. We study the Bible and we find out that there's something called the Feast of Tabernacles. To them, it's their own culture. They understand how it evolved. They know where it came from. For you to find a Jew that leaves Judaism and say he has found the fulfillment of that which he was doing in Judaism, in Jesus, is something to think about. But that is predicated upon a fact. There was something they saw that made them realize that Jesus was the fulfillment of everything that they did. Jesus defied death. That's a fact. See, our experience of salvation is tied to acknowledging some spiritual facts. Is that clear? And there are quite some facts in the Bible. Upon discovering that Jesus is Lord, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and confess with your mouth that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So there's an experience that is attached to acknowledging those two facts. That experience is the experience of salvation. Now, so if we're going to go beyond the hearing of the ear into experiencing God, we cannot do without acknowledging some spiritual facts. Exactly. Now, meanwhile, this is something I need you to pick quickly. If you believe in your heart, so faith has come into this picture. So I need to define faith within the scope of this experiential adventure. Oh my. Am I speaking too much lingo? Okay, please stay with me. Stay with me. So, Jesus is Lord, so he was coronated in the heavens after his work of redemption. He ascended into the heavens and he was coronated Lord. He was coronated Christ. Hallelujah. So the Bible says that if you acknowledge, if you believe that Jesus indeed is Lord, he manifested his Lordship in various areas. And one of those areas of the manifestation of his Lordship was how that he proved that death did not have power over him. It was the manifestation of his Lordship. Now, the other day on Facebook, somebody said, well, I don't believe in God and all of that. So we now told the person, well, you can, it's a choice. You can decide not to believe in God. But it is needful for you to understand that our faith in Jesus is tied to some facts that can be verified. The Bible says that Jesus died according to the scriptures and he rose. That's fact. Go and verify that that fact has no credibility before you decide to say, I don't believe in God. Because even if you decide not to believe in God and these claims are facts, your refusing to believe in God will not change the fact. Because truth is not a relative pendulum. Truth is a fixture. So we have to put the person in perspective. And then we now brought some literature and brought some quotable quotes of how somebody quoted that, I believe in this because of this. I brought another quote again. We believe in this because of that. As if truth has various grounds that you can find it. It's not logic. It is fact. So we say, go and verify this claim. Whether it is true that Jesus died according to the scriptures and defied death in his resurrection. If that is true, it means that is a fact. And it is true and a fact even whether you believe it or not. So we don't intend to change your belief, but we just came to show you a fact. Your belief will not change this one. It's a fact. So if you are transiting from hearing about God to experiencing God, we must pay attention to facts. That if thou canst believe, Jesus is Lord. Alright? And you confess with your mouth that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He now showed us the two faculties that we have to interact in the process of transiting from a head knowledge to an experiential knowledge, the heart. The second organ is the mouth. And these two organs are critical on your path of experience. Hallelujah. What you believe and what you confess is related to experience. It's a requirement on the path of experience. So there are some basic facts that we need to understand. And if you don't acknowledge those facts, there are experiences that are connected to the apprehension of those facts that will open the gate to experience to you. Exactly. All right. So we see the two facts upon which salvation can be drawn, the salvation experience can be drawn. We have other facts. One of the other facts, again, in the book of Acts of the Apostle, are you still with me? Stay with me, please. Stay with me. Second fact. Acts of the Apostles chapter 2. This was an attempt by Peter to explain what was happening on the day of Pentecost. And he spoke a lot of stuff. But when he began to tie up what he was saying, he began to narrow down his emphasis to a fact. And he was expecting everybody to acknowledge that that fact was the foundation of the experience that they had on the day of Pentecost in the upper room. All right. Let's trace it. Acts chapter 2 from verse 30. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he will raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He is seen this before speak of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Hallelujah. This Jesus had God raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses. Now, first of all, cool down. We have some facts here. We have some facts. First fact here is the fact that God did not allow Jesus' body to see corruption. Second fact is, this Jesus God has raised up, wherefore we are witnesses. We are witnesses of his resurrection. Second fact is resurrection. Third fact here is, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted. So this Jesus that resurrected also ascended. And the event that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is tied to is the exaltation of Jesus. Jesus did not only ascend, Jesus was also exalted. He was coronated in heaven. Okay. Wherefore, being at the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. Now, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit took place because Jesus is exalted. So, the exaltation of Jesus as Lord and Christ is a fact. And it's upon that fact, the exalted Jesus. Are you with me? That was the fact that led to the experience of Holy Ghost baptism. So, if today Jesus is still exalted in heaven, it means right here today, if somebody is not baptized in the Holy Spirit, he has the right to be baptized if he has given his life to Christ, because the fact that supports that experience is that Jesus is exalted. Look at that. Oh my, you're not with me. That's the second fact. He gave us the fact that was behind the experience. So every experience of God that you have is tied to a fact, something already accomplished, something already done, something accomplished by Jesus is what every experience that you have is based on. You see? Now, are you with me now? So the next point we need to raise here is the need for faith. What does faith feed on? Faith does not have any salvaging capacity in itself. Faith is a means of appropriation. It's a means of making something that is generally available your own property. Are you with me? Good. Now, so it's a means of appropriation. It's a means of making something that is available your own property. Now, we need to find out how faith functions. You see, now I've realized that Jesus has died, Jesus has risen, Jesus ascended, Jesus was exalted in the heavens. And all of these things, all of these facts, have experiences attached to them. Now, stay with me. Let me show you another fact. Romans chapter 6. Facts. All right. Let's go to Romans chapter 6, verse 4. It said, therefore, we are buried with him in baptism into death. I was trying to explain yesterday, but I guess many of you did not understand what I meant in my explanation. I said, ye are dead, and your life is hid in Christ, and Christ in God. That the experiences you can have in God are experiences that are in Christ, that were articulated in Christ Jesus. For instance, Christ died. There is an experience of death in Christ that you must experience. Christ resurrected. There's an experience of resurrection in Christ that you will experience. Christ was exalted. There's an experience of he ascended. There's an experience of ascension that you can find in Christ. Christ was exalted. There's an experience of exaltation that you have in Christ. Christ is into priesthood. There is an experience of priesthood that you are going to have in Christ. There's an infrastructure of the experience of priesthood in Christ Jesus. You have no experience outside of Christ. Are you with me? Oh my. Are you with me? That's the scope of your experience. What Christ did not experience, you cannot experience it. Because there is no basis for you to experience what Christ has not experienced. And just in case you are beginning to have an experience that is not captured in what Christ experienced, that experience is not healthy, that experience is demonic, and you should fight that experience because you are not destined for that experience, because you are not in that domain where that experience is. Is that clear? Now, so this guy is now speaking. Paul is speaking in Romans chapter 6, verse 4. He said, therefore, being buried with him in baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness. So how it can now become your experience. But I want you to see that every spiritual experience is tied to a fact that is in Jesus.
a fact that is what?
In Jesus.
That is the basis of experience. If Jesus died, there is an experience of death that you keep having. Sorry, but you will keep having an experience of death. It happens to be that because of the fall, there is a corruption that the fall brought. And God wants to undo that corruption by our experiencing of Him. So that part of the economy of God that deals with our reliance on that which is falling, that which is of the old creation, that part of the economy of God that deals with our reliance on the old creation is an administration of debt that is encapsulated in Christ where we have been submerged. So we have that experience of debt. For instance, if you are a very ambitious person, and ambition is not one of the fruit of the Spirit, it's a falling disposition. And if God is going to deal with that ambition, hallelujah, the circumstances that He's going to allow to come into your life by which He will deal with that ambition are not palatable. Very terrible circumstances. Though that is the administration of debt that is in Christ Jesus. And every true Christian, that's why Paul said, that I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering. Suffering was part and parcel of how Jesus uttered this part that we are working on. So it is impossible for you to be a Christian and not suffer. And I'm not talking about negative suffering. Suffering that is allowed around your life for a positive purpose. And the positive purpose of suffering is that it will make you lose confidence in everything that you have had confidence in before that is not God. It will weaken your confidence in all those pillars and infrastructures you have built around your life, and it will lead you towards confidence in God. Now, so, and all those things is part of your experience in Christ. So you cannot formulate an experience that is inconsistent with that which Christ had. Now, as much as we don't like suffering, if a preacher comes and says, you will never suffer again forever, that is not scriptural. Because in Christ, there was suffering. The administration of God that we are subscribing to gives us, makes out unto us some doses of suffering for a positive purpose. Yes. So that our reliance on anything that is not God can be weakened, and our dependence on God can be strengthened. And that is a continuous process in the economy of God, in the experience of God. Now, so let's not try to make things look without pain. Just there's no pain, you won't suffer again. And that's not the scripture. Because the scope, what guarantees our experience in God, is that we're submerged in Christ Jesus. So it's the experience that Christ had that God will give us. Because God wants us to turn out to become exactly like Him. Are you with me? Now, watch it. Now, so, the newness of life is supposed to be the direct effect of the resurrection. Are you with me? So, the resurrection is a fact, but the newness of life is the experience that is tied to resurrection. Are you with me? Your calling came from ascension. The anointing you are carrying is an ascension material. The Bible says He led captivity captives and gave gifts unto men. Gifts unto men. So the giftings that you have, your callings, the grace of God that's at work in your life is a product that is a material from ascension. So anytime you operate under the anointing, you're operating from ascension. And in ascension, you are operating far above principalities and power. So if I operate under the anointing, I'm going to see the same defeat that Jesus defeated the enemy in hell manifested on earth, because I'm using an ascension material to prosecute the process, and hell will be put to shame again. Now, so every spiritual experience is tied to a fact. Notice also that Jesus did not only ascend, Jesus also was exalted. That is to say that if I keep pace with my walk with God, if I keep pace with the Holy Ghost, though my beginning be small, my great later end shall greatly increase. So there's an exaltation infrastructure that is built into the experience scope. It is not a problem for you to start small, but it's a problem for you to end small. It's a problem. It's a problem. Where you start is not the problem. But if you are small all along, then there's a problem. There's a problem. There's a problem. Because there's a provision for exaltation. Jesus was exalted. And we also, if we keep pace with him, we are supposed to experience that exaltation. But you see, before he was exalted, he went through a process. And he fulfilled the process. And the process was the basis of the exaltation. And so as you are walking with God, there will be diverse tests that you will be subjected to. Diverse processes you will go through. And if you pass the test, God will begin to exalt you gradually. Exalt you gradually. But there's exaltation in Christ. I'm just trying to establish the fact that you, every spiritual experience is tied to a spiritual. If we have established that substantially, I need to also show you the place of faith in this whole arrangement. The place of what? Faith. Why do you need to believe? Why do you need to believe? What is the place of faith? And what are the signs to show that your faith is defective? Now we need to understand that this infrastructure I'm trying to reveal to us is the architecture that God ordained by which we have spiritual experience. And if by any means you are defective in one of the requirements, the implication is that you will be bereaved of spiritual experience. All right. Okay, let me give you a PowerPoint. Faith is based on the finished work of Christ. Now, all those things that we have seen, Jesus died, Jesus was buried, Jesus went to hell, Jesus resurrected, Jesus ascended, Jesus was exalted. That's finished. So when you discover a spiritual fact, it is faith that you will use to make that fact an experience. So faith is based on what? The finished works of Jesus. And the finished works of Jesus are tied to some facts. Resurrection is a fact. It's finished. But we are expected to walk in the newness of life on the account of the fact called resurrection. Are we okay? But faith becomes the link to translate that fact to an experience. That's the first link. Now, so if I find out that I have given my life to Christ, but I'm still living the way I was living before I gave my life to Christ, it means I've not tapped into the resource that powers the newness of life. Maybe while studying the Bible, I now stumble on the fact that on the account of resurrection, God is expecting me to live in the newness of life. I now make that my prayer point. Are you with me? I make it my prayer point. That Lord, I've discovered that you are expecting me to live in the newness of life, which is an experience I don't have. And that is tied to your resurrection. I want to know the power of your resurrection. So I make it a prayer point. As I'm praying like that, a point comes when faith is furnished. And I need to tell you what faith is. Faith is not a carnal thing. It's not you trying to make believe. Because we were taught mechanical faith. Keep saying it, keep confessing it. That's too mechanical. It's too mechanical. Calm down. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not saying try to conjure. No. In fact, your confession is needed most. It's needed most in areas at times when your mind is under attack. When your mind is under attack and the devil wants you to believe a lie and he's throwing a lot of lies on your mind, at your mind, at that point in time, you need to start talking. Most of you, when you have those experiences and the devil is beginning to throw a lot of stuff on your mind, you keep quiet and you begin to pray in tongues. That's not the time to pray. That's the time to speak the word of God. Because your vocal cord has more authority in the spirit than your thoughts. So when you begin to speak, you stop thinking. So you switch off your mind. and you begin to speak. And when you begin to speak, you will begin to believe what you are saying. Alright? So it's a means of warfare. The warfare of the mind. You cannot do it effectively without opening your mouth wide and speaking the word of God. Many times we come for service like this, I see people just defeated. You know why? Their mind has been tampered with. It's the same market all of us are. The same market that we go to. But some people come to just dead. They're just looking dead, looking all of that. When the mind came under attack, there was no confession. And that was the reason for the depression. Your confidence was challenged and you submitted because of circumstances and situations. But I am not like you. When my mind is under attack, I begin to speak. I begin to speak. So that's the role of confession. But you see, confession does not... Faith is born experientially. Faith is born in the place of prayer. So when you identify that fact and you begin to ask God that I may know the power of your resurrection. I may know the power of your resurrection. I want to know the power of your resurrection. It's by that power that I can live beyond this mess that I'm currently in right now. It's by that power. It's by that power. And I make it a prayer point. I make it a prayer point. I make it a prayer point. And when I begin to pray about it, I begin to discover that I'm improving. I'm improving. I make it a prayer point. I keep improving. Hallelujah. I make it a prayer point. I keep improving. But you see, the reason why I'm improving is that as I am praying and taking advantage of the fact that Jesus resurrected and I resurrected with him, and now I need the power to live within the scope of the reality of that resurrection. As I'm praying about it, it begins to register in me. Hallelujah. It begins to register in me. It's furnished inside of me that I am actually receiving that power of resurrection. I begin to know that I have it now. I begin to sense it, that it is coming now. And when I begin to live life, I begin to see a change. Can you say that? Now, so faith is born. There is faith appropriates that work that is already finished in Christ. And those finished works of Christ are in form of facts. Can you say that? In form of what? Facts. So I'm not living in sin because I'm living by the power of his resurrection. Am I tempted once in a while? Yes, I am. When the temptation comes, I go back to the fact. And I begin to pray again. I need that experience. Power of what? Your resurrection. The power of your resurrection. And there's a supply. I overcome the temptation. I live above it. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Amen. For instance, anointing is a product of ascension. So if I want to go carry out function in my calling, I go back to God and say, I want the power of ascension. You know, Paul prayed, he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection so that I will live in the newness of life. Now I need the power of ascension so that I can function in my ministry. Have you ever prayed that prayer? I need the power of ascension. Just like there's a power of resurrection, there's a power of ascension. That's the power that I use to function in ministry. It came from up there. And that's what the Bible means, that you are more than conquerors. It's ascension. You know, the fight took place in hell where Jesus made an open show of the devil in resurrection. So the fight took place in hell. Resurrection was a proof that Jesus won. Ascension is a further proof that we have gone beyond fighting. We have gone beyond fighting. In ascension, our status as heavenly beings are confirmed. So the anointing is coming from the realm of ascension. And if I walk in that anointing, the defeat of Satan that took place in hell will be replayed before my face, because I'm using a tool of ascension. And in ascension, we are more than conquerors. We are past fighting. We are fully established in the victory. The anointing will prove it again and again and again that Satan is defeated, because it's an ascension material. Then we'll come to what Shala said yesterday. Exaltation. Yes, the anointing is an ascension material. But in your walk with God, when you decide to accept the dealings of God, not everybody does. Because when God is dealing with you, he gives you the opportunity to decide if you want to stop the dealing. See, he gives everybody the opportunity. I've seen people that walk with God for 3 years, and then at some point they felt it was hard, and then they now bolted out. And God will allow you go. So some others did not stop. It was hard for everybody. I remember our prayer group when we used to pray on campus. Suddenly all of us started failing. And to show you that it was the devil, we were from different departments, but everybody from different departments started failing. So it was across board. Now, and I need you to know that these guys that gather to pray are scholars in their own right. They are scholars in their own respect. In fact, one of... Jesus, let me stop there. They began to fail. So the failure became widespread. Some of the guys that were coming for prayer now said, well, we came to school to learn. So, if this prayer is what will stop us from learning, we will have to stop and go and learn. But unknown to them, they were implicated by even joining the prayer in the first place. So even when they left to learn, they failed them all. There was no immediate remedy to the implication of being in that prayer group. A few of us, we were 40-something people that began the prayer spree. At the end of the day, we became 3. And so not everybody wanted to follow through with the discipline. So at the end of the day, in the prayer group again, we became 1. And it was only me that was now coming for prayer. But I ensured that I came to the spot that we normally used to hold prayer as a congregation. Hallelujah. And I remember one night, while I came to pray, that day I was so discouraged that I decided that I won't pray that day. But you see, it rained. And the place was so dark by the normal time we normally go for prayer. There was no moonlight. The clouds covered the moon. The place was dark. So I woke up and I didn't like the sight of the darkness. It was so much. I said, you see, it's dark. So I went to sleep. Then one hand came and held me. And you know the story. I've told the story many times. And that hand kept troubling me in the room like that until eventually I decided to go for prayer. I was the only one that went. While I was praying in tongues reluctantly for about 45 minutes, then God began to speak to me. The first thing God spoke to me was that I was not going to graduate with my mates. And when it happens, I should not despair. I said, this is not good news. Then the second thing, he said, while your mates go for youth service and you are held back, I'm going to give you something that their youth service cannot give them. It's okay. Now you are talking. It's better news. Better news. I'll give you something during that year. He now gave me another instruction. I said, so during that year, when they go for youth service, look for me. Because I'm on you, I'll give you something. It's okay. All right, no problem. Meanwhile, at that time, there was no sign that I will have an SIU. Some strange instructions came. So when the extra year thing came, I was already, my heart had dealt with it, no problem. We started the extra year. Then Anna said, I hope you are aware this is the time for that thing. It is in that extra year that the power of God clothed me. I'll be ministering, people will start falling. So I now remember what God said. So this anointing I'm working in is an exhortation. You see, because I decided to follow through his dealings. All right? So there is a discipline. There is a dealing that is attached to every window of exhortation you experience. So that guy, that pastor that said, I know what Jesus gave me, is someone that has received something from exhortation. So meanwhile, you can inherit something that somebody gets from exhortation. Anyway, you can inherit it. All of us don't need to pay the price to get everything.
We can tap it. That's why when we come together in fellowship, we tap the resources that is made available corporately. That's when I began to operate in the power of God. So I said, oh, this is what you were talking about. It's an exhortation. By the time I did one semester with the power of God on that campus, Jesus, it was more than all the years I've done before. I saw all kinds of things. My life changed. It was an exhortation that took place. And that exhortation we cannot isolate it from the exhortation that Jesus was exalted in heaven. It is because that happened that I'm having the experience I have. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So, because I have been exalted, I can go to God and say, I need the power of that exaltation. Okay, you didn't get that one. Let's leave that one. So I said, faith is based on the finished work of Christ. But that's not all. Obedience is based on the current work of the Holy Spirit. You see, we have the finished work of Christ. It is because of that we need faith to experience the things that Christ has experienced. But that's not all. There is obedience. God is doing a current work in you now. And that current work in you requires obedience. If you read your Bible critically, you'll find out that the reason why Noah was saved was because he obeyed. The emphasis of this grace movement is the finished works of Christ. But that's not all. We also have the current work of Christ. What is God doing in me now? Like I said yesterday, you must be a good student of your own spiritual life. What is God doing in you now? I told you the experiences I've had in God. And now that currently God is showing me that He's big. Yes. Showing me what? That He's a big God. In most of my dealings with God right now, God is showing me that He's big. It's because my heart is narrow. When you have suffered poverty for many years, when you will need God to heal you, to expand your capacity. So God is taking me through that process right now, and He's telling me how big He is. I've learned a little, but I'm still learning, because I adjusted myself to be very prudent, to be able to manage, and that helped me for a season. Now, that my very small and narrow lifestyle is offensive to God at this point. And God is, please don't adopt my own shape. God may not be teaching you that He's big now. So stay where you are and be a good student of the class in the spirit that God has placed you. All right? But me, that is my own current position of dealing. He's showing me that He's a big God. Hallelujah. And now that I'm getting that insight, it's affecting every part of my life. Those days, I felt that in international ministry was a big thing. I saw myself small. So when they invited me to preach somewhere, I went to my father-in-law. Am I big enough to be able to preach among white people? He laughed and said, I'm too old. Sure. But you see, the narrowness was inside. It was not humility, it was narrowness. Narrowness. And God is dealing with me about how He is big. And I've experienced a lot of liberty, a lot of deliverance from the Lord by those revelations. It is possible, maybe in your life right now, you are seeing money is a big thing. Huh? Well, that's a stage. But where I am right now, money has lost the value it had with me previously. God is showing me how that He is a big God. It's affecting my plans. It's affecting my possibilities. It's affecting my outcome. So it is because of that insight that is coming from Christ that I'm being adjusted. And I've told us that immortal person called Christ has been made unto us all things. So there's no experience that you need outside of Him. Every experience you need is inside of Him.
for me now, he is the cure of my narrowness. I didn't know I was narrow. I thought I was exposed. When he began to give me dealings on how that he's a big God, and I saw how I made him small in my mind. So those chains, I had chains inside. I was a pastor, but with chains in my mind. And those chains are breaking. You see, but you cannot operate in the school that I'm operating in. The school I'm operating in is based on my own personal curriculum with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. And on the strength of those expositions God is giving me, he's giving me instructions in keeping with the fact that he's a big God. You see, so there is a current work that God is working in me by his Spirit. And in order for me to enter into experiences on the account of that work, I will have to obey the Holy Ghost. There are works that Jesus has already accomplished on the cross, in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection, in his ascension, in his exaltation. There are works he has already accomplished. I can enter into the experience of those works by faith. So, our faith relates to the finished works of Jesus. But our obedience relates to the current work of the Holy Spirit. The grace movement is structured in such a way that is based on the finished works of Jesus. It doesn't acknowledge the current works of the Holy Spirit. Because what God may be dealing with you about is that you are a very arrogant person. And God might be trying to dismantle every fiber of arrogance that is in your system. It's the current work of the Holy Ghost. And that work, there are instructions that will come at that level to facilitate that work. He might send you to where you have now gone to boast that, in that sense, you go back and apologize. And it's an attack on your arrogance. It's a current work. If you don't obey that instruction, you will not consummate the debt of arrogance that God is trying to instill and to establish in your life. Are you still with me? Now, so it's not just finished works. We also have current works. My emphasis in this Bible study are the current works of the Holy Ghost. But I have to do all of those talk just to bring you here. The current works. So the experiences that are tied to the finished works of the Holy Spirit, those are basic experiences. Those are basic experiences. That I need to walk in the newness of life is tied to my resurrection. That I need to walk in the anointing and the grace of God that I put upon my life is tied to ascension. That I need to walk in the light of the promotions I've received and the breakthroughs I've received in the Spirit is tied to the exaltation of Jesus. The fact that sin will not have dominion all over me is tied to the death of Jesus. Because when Jesus died, I died. If we are under the law, then sin is our destiny. Our exit from the law is tied to the death of Jesus because we died along with him. We are married to the law, and the only way you can come out of marriage is through death. It's either the law dies or you die. And the law is eternal, it will never die. The only variable that is left is you dying. And it's only an immortal, someone that lives beyond the reach of death, that can put you into that kind of death and then give you his life so that you can live by his life. Hallelujah. So our termination, our exit from the power of sin was tied to our death in Jesus. Hallelujah. These are experiences that we can explore. However, this is not the syllabus. The fact that they are finished works of Jesus, from whence we can draw experiences, there's also a current work of the Holy Spirit. Current work. It's in that school of the current works that you must be an up-to-date student. What is God dealing with you about now? If you don't know that, you are not growing. Now, please get the microphone. Current works. What God is emphasizing in my life now is not sin. What is dealing with in my life now is not pride. What is dealing with in my life now is not my giving life. What is dealing with in my life now is not my preaching life. What he's dealing with in my life now is that he has discovered that I am narrow. And to cure that revelation of that situation of narrowness, he brings another revelation that is in Christ. How that Christ is big. He's a great monarch. He's omnipotent. And he floods the eyes of my understanding with that reality. And then he begins to break away that narrowness that situations and circumstances have been able to help me furnish. Because it was not what he was dealing with before, even though it was wrong, he did not put his satellite on it. So there was no emphasis on that. Are you with me? There was no emphasis on that. He allowed me hold on to that narrowness while he was dealing with something that he felt was more important to him in the previous stage. Now, the narrowness has come under attack. The narrowness has come under attack. When we're buying the land for the camp, hallelujah. No, let's start with this house. Pastor Shala came and said, according to the real plan, this house would have started from here. This hall would have started from here, according to the plan. So, Shala now came and said, Pap, there's still more space at the back. Can we extend it? Hey, I felt the thing would be too big. I felt the hall will become too big. When will we get people to put inside? Hey. He said, no, Pastor, we are going to extend it. I said, okay. Then that was how we now got this additional space. When we started using the hall, I said, oh, big hall. It was not the hall that was big, it was my heart that was narrow. Then after one contact, second contact, I think the third, fourth also, the hall was full. Hey. This whole fool. Then I said, let them count the number of the people. I was not so impressed with the number. I thought there were more. So this whole is small. Even though God saw that my narrowness, that was not what he was dealing with that time. There were other issues. Now that he has come under my narrowness, that's what is hurting him now. That my heart, please help me preach to your neighbor. If you don't win here, you can't win on the ground, though. Began to attack it. Do you know how much of dealings God brought on my life before I could accept international ministry? You not know. How much of dealings, just to break that hurt inside and then accommodate international ministry. So much dealings. Hallelujah. Do you know how much of dealings that had to go on inside before I felt that cable television was an outlet we could use for evangelism? In fact, while God had conquered me and said, okay, we should start putting our stuff on cable because he wants to feed the nations, somebody came to me and said, Pastor, is it not too early for you to start putting your stuff on cable? Then Baba had already dealt with me that time. So I told the person, God led me to do it. As pious as that presentation was, in that season when God was showing me, the dealing I was having was enlargement inside. Are you following? That was my dealing. As pious as that presentation was, it was not of God. If you are not a good student of the current works of the Holy Spirit in your life, somebody will bring a pious statement like that to undo the current works. Some of you have stayed on one current dealing of the Holy Spirit for too long. So there are times where the Holy Spirit will come and say, you have stayed here on this mountain, this school, this dealing. I travel, I come back, I see somebody on one spot is complaining about the same matter for 7 years. When will you graduate from that class? 7 years on one. Because the person doesn't acknowledge, he doesn't realize the current works of the Holy Spirit in his life. There are revelations that will come and instructions that will come, that obedience to those instructions will give you the experience of the dealings. So in the finished works of Jesus, it is faith that is the gateway to the experience. But in the current dealings of the Holy Spirit, It is obedience that is the gateway to experience.
I was looking at, because I told the architect to cost what it would take for us to build the camp. When I heard the money, I almost got sick. How will we get this kind of money? It was that my heart, that my small heart. I will speak big English, but the heart is small. And you cannot go beyond the heart. If God wants to enlarge your coast, he will deal with that heart, the narrow heart. He will touch it. Some of you, the reason why you have not been able to advance is the heart. It's narrow. It's too tight. And God will release you from that bondage in the name of Jesus Christ. Then when he began to show me things, and I began to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. The thing began to enter. 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 When it began to enter, my giving changed. That was the first symptom. That was when I knew that I was experiencing that my giving changed. My giving, it changed. Hallelujah. My giving, it changed. And when my giving changed, I started, because God, somebody will come to my house, God will say, give the person this. Give the person that. This. Somebody came the other day, brought me two big bags of clothes. All kinds of clothes. Shoes were there, ties were there. Oh. So, and I now said I won't tell anybody. But if my people visit me, anybody that comes, I give him. I think the first person to come, who I don't know. Somebody, Ogbe. Ogbe. And then like that. So, when I started operating in that perspective, the kind of things that began to come into my life were not, As the clothes became too much, I had to give most of it out. Only the ones. What was the prayer I prayed? I'm going to Gombe where the Hausa people. Give me clothes, Hausa clothes. And then they brought a box. My prayers now had strange impact when I accepted that God was a big God. Oh! Two boxes. There were shoes there. I had to release shoes. Some palm sandals. Ties, belts. All kinds of stuff I kept giving. The things are still remaining. And above all, those household clothes, a lot of them were there. So I called the tailor, gave. I said, you know my size. Make them my size. So I had enough household clothes. Yeah. And that was just a stray prayer that I prayed. A stray prayer. But I now saw the impact. I saw a God that could supply much more than you need. I started seeing that. The other day I said, all right, Lord, I'm going. I had an invitation to go preach somewhere in Europe. So they now told me the airlines, Turkish Airlines. In fact, that name, Turkish, I don't want to hear it for a long time. Because the first time we went to Turkey, they gathered all of us as if we had Ebola and used caution tape to pass there and quarantined all of us. Turkish people hate Nigerian Christians, black Christians. So when they did that, I marked that country called Turkey. So the, what they call this travel agent now say we have Turkish, I say don't finish it. Don't finish that Turkish. The reason why we are recommending Turkish is because it is cheap. I said, who told you that I need something cheap? Meanwhile, the time I was saying that, I had no money. I said, I've been seeing this Lufthansa airline. That's what I want to fly, yeah. Lufthansa.
Hallelujah.
Now, listen. Hallelujah. Turkish airline, they will take you to Turkey and leave you there in the airport. You will sleep in the airport for 12 hours before your connecting flight. In that iron seat. You'll be doing like this. You'll be half dead before you fly again. They say another option is Egypt Air. In Egypt Air, when they fly you to Egypt, because the time that you will waste is 22 hours, so they will take you to hotel. I said, no. The place I'm going is 7 hours from here to that place in Europe. It's just 7 hours. Why would I go somewhere and sleep somewhere? No, I'm not lost. Lufthansa will take you from Abuja and take you there in the next 7 hours. You'll be in Berlin. So I told God, and it is me and Tena that I was supposed to go. So Tena was saying Egypt will be cheap. I said, Tena, we are in different schools in the Holy Ghost. So, pretend as if you are in my school. Just leave that one. Leave it. When I made that statement known that God, I'm moving. It's Lufthansa. Jesus. The money came. Yes. Strange money came. My own God is big. I have refused to accept the estimation of God as a small person. And please don't jump for your class and enter into my class and say, the lecture in my class is good. They will not. Your name is not on the register, not on the roster. Your name is not on that roster. Yes, stay where you are, and you must relate with the current works of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, current work. Okay, question. Yeah, you can inherit it. No, as I'm preaching now, you can catch it. But I'm saying, don't try to mimic it. Don't try to fake it. If you have not caught it, calm down. Just focus on your own class for now. Focus on your own class. I'm not going by Egypt air. Huh? Hey, Lord. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. Please, don't mistake what I'm teaching for carnality. I'm trying to draw a thin line between carnality and what I'm talking about. That's where I am in the school of the Spirit. And I believe the major reason why God is doing this is because if I don't have that big heart to see the big God, that project that is there in that camp is a big project. Yes, a massive project. And that big God, that my big God, will make that, you will be amazed. Oh Lord, have mercy. In this land, they say it's a dry land. Don't worry, calm down. Calm down. If you don't have the money, just give what you have. Give what you have. Don't worry. It will come. It will come. It will come. In fact, I've seen that hall to a point where we were fixing flood lights for the stage. The lights. I was there giving the instruction that this light must. So that's my current dealing. Now, we need to take an example quickly. Is the microphone? Pass it to anybody of your choice. We need to ask, inquire, what is the current work of the Holy Ghost in your life? Eugenia, give you Eugenia. Eugenia, Ben. The current work. Because if you don't know this current work, somebody can come and say something that will discourage you from your class. See, when I just got, are you with me? I got that insight that we should go on cable. Then somebody came with a religious tone and said, is it not too early? But I knew the current work of dealings. I said, it's an instruction. Maybe it's the Holy Ghost, you will go and ask if it's too early. But if I heard that, we should go ahead. Hallelujah. So there are many people that the devil will send to your life to make you withdraw from the school of his current dealings. If you are not conscious of it, you will not be able to obey him consistently for you to grab the experience. Hallelujah. You remember my story I told you? I was there in the village. It was in the village that God spoke to me about international ministry. And if you check the village the way it was, there's nothing to suggest to you that there is any light there. But it was there in the village that God spoke to me about international ministry. And when he was saying it, I shared it with some of my friends that we prayed together, and they hated me because I felt I was better than them. So I said, I didn't know this how it works. That this kind of dealings, you don't share it. So I learned how to keep my secret to myself. When everybody's complaining, I will complain along. But I know my dealing. Like in the office, if you go there and they are saying, they have not paid this money, don't venture say, no. Don't say that, that you want to stay there. Follow them and say, we need that money. Hey! We are praying for it. They'll say, Pastor, you are not praying. I say, okay, I will pray. When you leave there, sanitize yourself with scriptures. Sanitize yourself with scripture. Hallelujah. My God shall supply. In the name of Jesus. You see, the three books that this ministry has produced, We give it out to somebody, the person reads and writes in 7 major languages of the world, in Spanish, in French, in... So the book is being translated to 7 different languages. And they called me to say, you don't need to send us money. My uncle has a printing press and they have accepted to print it for free. You know what? When the person was doing the translation, God began to encounter the person through the book. That's the testimony, not that the book has gone international. The person reading to translate came on head-on collision with Jesus. And every page was like a burning fire, burning fire, burning fire. But it was during the seasons where God was revealing to me that he's a big God, that all those things began to happen. So we have to open an account, a euro account, because euros will now come. He's a big God. Eugenia, what is God dealing with you about? The current work of the Holy Ghost. It's not everything. He's dealing with you on one subject, one thing. And you must be a good student of that thing if you will come into the experience of that which is emphasizing. He will give you a revelation of himself that pertains to that particular limitation. And when you begin to look at the revelation, that situation becomes a lie. Then you are sucked into that revelation. You adopt the position of that revelation. You begin to function in the life. It will just begin to happen. Because you are a good student of the current works of the Holy Ghost. What is he doing in your life? One thing, if it's two, then you are not a student. You are in the market.
I think it's in the area of trust.
No, it's not think. Give the mic. You don't know. You can't make spiritual progress by not knowing. Hey, if the Holy Spirit wants you to hear him, he has many ways to reach you. He can give you a dream. He can speak through scripture. And he has been doing that. For you not to know the current dealings of the Holy Ghost is a crime. Because these are the only windows of experience that we have available. Yes, give anybody of your choice. No, not the ones. Don't give the people raising their hand. Anybody of your choice. What is the... Yes, okay. Mommy Kate, what is the current dealing of God?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The current dealing of God in my life now is teaching me how to keep quiet.
Good. Now, what is expected of every true student of the Spirit is to get a diary. And then you write down that current dealings of God, teaching you how to keep quiet. Then he begins to give you experiences. What you learn from the experiences, you write it down. Having written it down, you will see the beautiful progression of the dealings of God on that subject. Can you give us an example? Why do you think so? What happened to you that made you think so?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I have any... That is, if I shared anything,
okay,
that he lays in my heart,
yeah,
maybe to a close friend or a sister, that particular thing that I shared don't happen again.
It won't happen again. When you are walking with the Spirit, you need to check the symptoms and the signs very, very well to know what he is signifying. If you are careless about that, there are many experiences that you are going to miss. And I've missed too many for a lifetime. Now I want to be diligent on these matters. The finished works of Jesus gives you access to some experiences, and your link to them is faith. But the current, your link to it is what? Obedience. It's all right. One more person. Now this sister is, you can give her. We are going to pray. The prayer point today is simple, that God will give us...
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
It's the area of hearing him. When I prayed, when I was praying the other time, he gave me a dream that I should I should sow a seed in the north and in the east and in the south and in the north, in the west, in the south.
Yes, north, south, east, and west. Sow a seed. Okay.
Yes, so I didn't know how to do it, but what I did, I just put 4,000 naira in an envelope and I came and dropped. So it did not take time. Then things started happening. Money started flowing. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. You see, she obeyed the lessons that came from the school. Every believer must have the ability to discern that current work. A lot of things that will happen during the seasons where you're having a particular dealing, experiences that you have, situations you encounter are related to that current work. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. We have been talking about building. Then suddenly, a friend of mine now imports a dredger. You know what a dredger is? A dredger. And they didn't find anywhere to use the dredger. It's in River Benue. So I went to see the dredger today. So when I went to see it, they said, this hand here, pastor, carry. Yeah, you know, building is block and sand. We now saw some kind of sand that is good for block. That means God is preparing for a building. He said, park this, pastor. Park this side. And then when I now left, 30 minutes after I left, they called me. That since I left, business opened there. I said, he opened. Oh my. That big God. I've been seeing him. Big God. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus. And so when you go to study your Bible, try to find out the finished works. It's tied to facts. How that he died. How that he was buried. How that he rose. How that he ascended. How that he was exalted. How that right now he is conducting a heavenly priesthood. And we are in him. So our experiences he had. Good. Now you can write this down. What Christ accomplished gives us a position. What the Holy Spirit commands gives us the experience. What Christ accomplished gives us the position. But what the Holy Spirit commands gives us the experience. And so the Bible says we have risen together with him. Position. In order for you to experience the implication of that position, is to be led by the Holy Ghost. When you are led by the Holy Spirit, you will see the victory that Christ has taken to that position manifest in your life. Now, so positionally, our citizenship is of heaven. And it is Christ that did that. It's through his finished works that we have position. And it's through that current work that we have experience. Now the prayer point is simple. It is possible for you to be an idle-minded Christian. You don't know what God is emphasizing in your life part time. You will be a wasteful Christian. You will waste experiences. You will waste encounters. It will not translate to growth. It will not translate to obedience. It will not translate to experience. Now, we are going to pray against that idle-minded conduct. Normally, the idle-minded conduct comes because of demonic activity. When the word of the kingdom was sown, for instance, the Bible says the one that fell by the wayside, the birds of the air came and picked it. What is responsible for the idle-minded kind of Christianity is demonic activity that picks the emphasis that God is making around your life. And God must open our consciousness to that which is dealing on in our lives. So we must be delivered from idle-minded Christians. That's my point. You must know what God is dealing with you on part-time. You must be a good student of the dealings of God on your life part-time. he must also be quick to obey the Spirit of God in the light of what he's dealing with you on pattern. So if he's dealing with pride, he'll be asking you to do things you don't like. Maybe you have gone somewhere to do that your pride, he will insist that you should go and apologize to kill the pride. So the kind of instructions you are receiving will be dependent on his current works. Whether it is palatable or not depends on whether he is giving you the experience of death, or is giving you the experience of resurrection, or is giving you the experience of ascension, or is giving you the experience of exaltation. All of those experiences are in him. I hope what I'm saying, you are getting it. You cannot have any experience that is not in him. He's bringing judgment on your pride because your pride is not in him. So he's administering debt. Things that are opposed to your fleshly disposition in order for him to destroy the authority of that dependence, that influence on your life. You must be a student of his dealings on your life. Are you still here? So the idle-minded Christianity, we need to fight it. Secondly, we must be ready to obey him. Thirdly, in the world of experience, we must be willing to begin to labor in thanksgiving. Labor. Make thanksgiving a culture. Thanksgiving. A culture. Do it consciously until you begin to do it unconsciously. He said, in everything through prayers and supplication coupled with, do it consciously until you start doing it unconsciously. How many of you gave thanks to God today? Don't lie. You gave thanks to God today. All right. How many of you did not give thanks to God today? You don't remember that you gave thanks. Don't. Say something. Did you? You are conscious. Now, you know what? The proof that you give thanks to God, the proof is that it will be very difficult for you to be depressed. When you find someone that is easily broken, has not understood the secret of laboring in thanksgiving. When you labor in thanksgiving, God will begin to give you insights of the things he's doing for you. Maybe the thing you are praying for has not happened, and that is the subject of your depression. Give thanks to God. God will show you what he is doing on your behalf. And even that which you have requested for that has not happened will not be so much as to stand in the way when God begins to show you the things that he does for you. If you find someone that a situation can cripple, a situation can condemn, just like condemned tire, is condemned. He has not found the secret of thanksgiving. And the devil will do anything to deflate your experience with God. And so you make it robust by laboring in thanksgiving. Laboring in thanksgiving. Labor in thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Finally, you must form a song out of every layer of experience you have in God. You must attach a song to it. That's how the book of Psalms was written. In order for you never to forget the things that God has dealt with you about, you must attach a song to every day. Like my current dealing of the big God. Huh? It's my current deal. So the song for now is, I have a very big God. When you sing that song, in that environment, that rebellion will go home. I have a very big God who is always by my side. And when I sing this song and dance, I dance without music. I normally do it alone so that nobody will say something is wrong. Because when you see, if you see the dance alone, you will be aware that I'm conscious. Who is always by my side. If there is no song on that subject, write one.
But spiritual experiences are tied down with songs. Tied down with songs. He said, weeping may endure for the night. Joy comes in the morning. That's not all. The Bible speaks about a God that giveth songs in the night. So there are songs that are given in as attachments to experiences. So that the memory of that experience will always be kept. And you know, praise and worship, different songs have different implications on our lips. When you are singing a song that is tied to an experience, when you reach the song, the impact of the song is stronger. But if it's the praise and worship leader that says, oh yeah, you tie a song to it. So I've finished teaching you what I'm practicing. This is what I'm practicing. Let us pray together. We want to pray against those the birds of the air. There's still the emphasis of our dealings with God part time. There's still it. I don't know how much the devil has stolen from you. As long as you cannot place your hand on the current dealings of God, you are not making progress. You are not making progress. For me, I have a big God. A very, very big God. Very big God. Very big God. I don't know about you. It may not be true for you, but it's true for me. It's a big God. You make a song out of your experience. Make a song out of it. Make a song. The Bible says, sing unto the Lord a new song. A new song. The day the children of Israel in procession refused to sing, then their captivity was confirmed by the river of Babylon. There we sat and there we wept, the Bible says. We hung our harps upon the coney trees. Our captors required us, one of the songs of Zion. What did they say? Why? How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? You can sing songs even in a strange land. There is an experience that has come into your life. That experience is so difficult for you to understand. Sing a song in the strange land. Turn your revelation of God into a song and sing it. Sing it. So we want to come against the birds of the air. They steal the emphasis from us. They steal the emphasis. So we do not walk in light of the dealing sufficiently for us to capture experiences from that plane. Things are lost. The disciples of Jesus were with him for 3.5 years. After 3.5 years, they became apostles. How long do you think it takes for somebody to become matured? How long? You are in one school for a long time. If you know that God is dealing with your pride, why not surrender your pride and say, I give you the right of way. Pull this infrastructure down. Because the experience you are having is the experience of death. Pull this infrastructure down. If you discern what the current work of the Holy Spirit is upon your life, you will be able to pray aright. Pull this thing down. When last did you sing unto him a new song? When last? Did you consciously write a song to tie down an experience, a dealing in him? May the birds of the air not take that which is precious from thee.
Raso mani masanta planta babodi makasketa mina. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. If the Lord begins to emphasize one thing over and over for many years, it means you have not yet made up your mind to follow Him. He will point to your company, point to your friends, and He has been pointing to it for many years, and you have made no adjustment. It means you are not serious about your walk with God. Let the birds of the air not steal the emphasis. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, 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 oh. Surrender to Him. Surrender to Him. And tell Him, I will not strive with you again. When I see that your hand is dealing with this matter, I will let go so that I can have experiences. I can grow beyond my current bondages and come into the liberty wherewith Christ has made me free. There is so much room, so much space, so much liberty, so much access, so much, so much. Our ability to discern what He's doing is the secret access to the next level in Him. We give you praise. 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 All of you should go and pray. Go and pray. Today, pray. Yeah, we give you praise. Pray. Don't joke with what God is dealing with. If it's dealing with pride, surrender. If it's dealing with anger, surrender the anger to Him. Surrender it to Him. Surrender it to Him. Ask for the spirit of self-control to come to work in your life. You must know what He is dealing with.
We give you praise. 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 Give you praise. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, yeah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
There is somebody among us, you have been on the same spot for too long. God is saying, go forward. Move forward. Move forward. Move forward. Move forward. It's time to move forward. It's time to move forward. It's time to move forward. It's time. There is so much accommodation for your forward advancement. Move forward. Move forward. I'm seeing another person. You move with God, then you fall off. Then you move again and fall off. Why not make up your mind tonight? If I perish, I perish.
We give you praise. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Sing unto the Lord a new song. An angel from heaven dispatched from heaven here now. Anyway, you are speaking tongues for the next 2 minutes. Let's find out why the angel was sent here. Just in tongues. Mihamantole masalabata mande mayantose naiske pretekele mire salabota. Rantoze ne kenda malatoze na ika mahayanto mesoza na hila zote maskabra talato menesgabre sovena hanta brata barata kosa babaranto agayato mina santo babayato angayato mina santa baboria skabra mahanta agayato sipriala mamama kabre so moboto mina hapreskai. Ilambro tamahanta barata esombre heske malato mina kade eya mama 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 mama. Ah, thank you Lord. In Jesus' name. So the Lord reveals that the angels came with weapons. Weapons. They came to distribute weapons. Weapons of war. Weapons. Weapons. That means a lot of us are in a war. A war. Oh, I didn't know that. So he came to dispatch weapons. Weapons. This time your warfare will be ended. He wants to conclude some war. He wants to conclude it. Can you receive the weapons? Can you make demand on the weapons? Make demand. Make demand. Make demand right now. Iko mahansaya masome. Some masato. Some mahalato. Esko sese na halabarato. Father, you reveal that some of us are in the midst of battle, and you sent your angel to give unto us weapons, weapons, weapons from heaven, weapons from heaven. Lord, I ask now that that individual that is here, that is in the midst of the battle, that you begin to release those weapons, those weapons, those weapons. It's been released now. The weapons. Begin to release the weapons. Begin to release the weapons. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask, oh God, that even tonight, that individual that is in the midst of the battle, that there be a disbursement of weapons. A disbursement. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. A disbursement of weapons. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. It's a disbursement. It's a disbursement. A disbursement of weapons. A disbursement. A disbursement. Father, let there be a disbursement so that we can fight and wage a good war. Let there be a disbursement. A disbursement. A disbursement. Yes, it's stronger now. It's stronger now. A disbursement. A disbursement of weapons. A disbursement of weapons. That your people, Lord, will rise up. Will rise up with strength and engage the war from a standpoint of victory in the spirit. And for those of you, some of you, you will get to your mission field and you'll find out that you return with weapons. Weapons, weapons, weapons. The warfare that tied you down before this time, it will not survive again. Now, I'm also seeing that God is healing somebody. And so, for that person that is being healed, receive your healing in the name of Jesus. Receive your healing. Be healed every week, from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. We release healing your way in Jesus' name. Now, there is a new page that is opening. A new page. A new page is opening in somebody's life right now. I'm seeing that page. I'm seeing it. It's a new page. It's opening. It's opening. I'm seeing that page. I'm seeing that page. It's a new page. It's a new page. It's a new page. God is opening a new page. It's more than one person that has that blessing. More than one person. And God is opening a new page right now. A new page. I prophesy that new on you. I prophesy that new. That fresh page. That fresh. Begin again. Start again. Start again. Start again. Yes, where you could not fly, mount up with wings and fly. A new page opens from the Lord, from the Lord. Let that which is impossible be made possible. Let that which has happened for a long time, let it happen now. Behold, I do a new thing. Behold, I do a new thing. Shall thou not know it? Behold, I do a new thing. Shall thou not know it? Shalt thou not know it? Behold, I do. Behold, I do. Behold, I do. Behold, I do. Remember not that which is past. For I've concluded the past already. Behold, I do a new thing, saith the Lord. Alato seleka bresko manto zima. I'm seeing a vision of a dry, parched place. And I see someone, you have been in a dry place for a long time. And you have even gotten used to the dryness, But God is saying, I send thee rain. I send thee rain. I send thee rain. The rain of refreshing shall water thee. And a new page begins. I send thee rain. I send thee rain. Let the dryness cease. And let the rains come. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.